Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But Red Frostin.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim, 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 Kim.
Hi, Christopher, I'm your own.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Bob.
Whoops! It's happening!
Let's do it. All right, we have 1 hour.
Uh-oh.
The doctor's leaving 1 hour. We have a ticking clock. Otherwise, there's no way to get her out of this apartment complex.
You can come back later. You guys.
No, we have to eject her from in 1 hour, we have to eject her from the apartment. There's no other way to get her out.
We're going to start a countdown of when she's going to be ejected. And yet we're yell at that somebody should pull the lever to eject her.
Right. And then we're going to try different doors, like the bathroom and the closet. Maybe put her in the closet or put her in the bathroom or something, but it's not going to work.
No.
But what is...
We are logic extremists.
We are logic extremists, but there's no logic to this podcast. Hello, everyone. My name is Mike McCafferty. I have a podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek, and usually it is scattered across Southern California. But today, yes. And today only, we three are joined. who am I with? Who's here?
Oh, me, Kim Miller.
Well, I don't understand that name. What's the other name?
The Doctor.
Yes. And then who else?
Jason McCarris.
Our literal chief engineer, right?
Somewhat.
He is using Logic Extremist here. He's using...
Yes, Logic Extremist 10 on Pro.
Logic Pro 10. To record in his apartment, he is kneeling down in front of a stool. This is our sophisticated system here.
He has performed a sound check. Is that how it's pronounced? Is that what that is?
Not 100%. I'm not 100% on that.
That joke is going to get us pretty far. That will win us a potty. Our potty award. But no, we are here today because we almost changed our title of... Before we go any further, we have a podcast called HodorCast.
Yes.
Which is coming up. It. Yes, HodorCast, produced by Jason McCarris. Originally produced by me until I abandoned it. Abandonware there. But it is coming for the final six episodes of Game of Thrones.
If we had time today, I would say we would do a recap episode of the last seven seasons.
A few months.
Yeah.
I know. I'm in the middle of my rewatch, so I'm almost done with season four.
But we recap like from season, what, five or four?
Yeah, from four on.
We started
from four
in
on.
Season three, episode three.
Yeah. So if you are interested in season three, episode three on.
The early ones don't matter.
The other ones are basically all prologue. It's terrible. Don't need to worry about that. It's all just kind of like blah, 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 and then season three, episode three. But we named it HodorCast, and then, like, at some point in time, we started to regret that. And we should have called this episode ArriumCast, because we were so in love with Arium for so long, and now we're saying so long to Arium.
I've forgotten, because I erased all the memories about this episode.
Did you delete it? Oh,
I deleted the specific memory of this episode.
What's the name of this episode, Kim?
Project Daedalus?
Project Daedalus. Now, what is the history behind Daedalus? No one knows. That's fine.
Father of Icarus?
Was it the father of Icarus? Kim might be right. Oh, you might be right.
No, my phone's over there. I can't look.
It doesn't matter.
Let's say yes.
Because this episode, now I'll tell you what, this episode excited me so much for the first half. It was the episode was like, oh, I like this. This is fun. I'm liking this character. I'm enjoying everything. Boy, they're really developing her a lot. Boy, they're really developing her a lot. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. And then all of a sudden she's out in space.
That felt incredibly rushed. Like you're 5 minutes into the episode, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're good buddies, and we play cards together.
And I'm actually part human. What?
Up until for the first like 29 episodes, we assumed she was just this robot girl, this like product of iPhone Android technology. And then all of a sudden,
car shifting,
like my Kia car shift. And then all of a sudden, she's like this. Like this human, it's such a baffling retroactive continuity of this, which I was almost on board for, but then they used her. Now I have a theory about this too. We'll dig into this a little more. But Jason, what was your thoughts? Jason has hot takes on this.
angry.
I am angry. I felt like by the time this episode was done, I felt like the show is punishing us for being smart. Oh, I really do. I feel like as we watch this show, do they really think we're idiots? Well, you just have a couple of voots throughout the whole season, and then we're supposed to care about the character and introduce all the sort of backstory at the beginning of the episode, and then pay it off by the end, where Michael Burnham is in tears because she doesn't want to eject her friend. And
did you even know her name, Michael Burnham? Like, I was like, all of a sudden, like,
have you ever seen them hanging out or exchanging more than a few words? She even was acting, like, portraying her character a little differently. She's like, she was had more inflection in her voice. She wasn't talking like a robot.
She was talking like a robot throughout the entire show.
Thank you for properly pronouncing robot, because that's the one thing I can say positive about Tilly, is she pronounced robot correctly.
Robot. So maybe we're okay with Tilly now. Maybe we're 100%
on board with Tilly. No, we're definitely not okay with Tilly.
Okay, all right. Still some rounds to go.
Deus ex Tilly comes in, and once again, to explain what's going on and save the crew.
Oh, that's
she
wrong.
Does every single time she's on the bridge.
I'm going to send you something. I'm going to send it to you. Do you remember? We're doing the flipping motion where you flick your screen. All right, so Kim, what were your thoughts about this?
Yeah, there were some pretty outrageous moments where you're just like, why, when the two of them are fighting, why not just beam one of them away? Beam them both into the brig.
Beam them both into the brig, yes.
Beam Michael a phaser. There's so many ways to solve that, and it just felt like another person. Oh, it just reminded me
if
another
they
person asking
the phaser
Tilly
on. It would have tracked the mines, Kim. You know that.
Oh God. It was another scene where Burnham is being asked to kill someone. Apparently, she's the go-to person on the ship. Yeah, if anyone wants to be killed, ask Michael, and she won't do it.
And she won't do it, we can talk about that too. But heroes do that. I mean,
everyone else was saying, do it.
Yeah, and she wouldn't do it. Well, I mean, if we talk about The City on the Edge of Forever, originally it was going to be McCoy or Spock was going to hold Kirk back from saving Edith Keeler in one of the original drafts. Like, he sees her crossing the street and he runs to get her, and Spock holds him back. Because it's like, no, Jim.
Well, remind me what happens in the end of that episode.
So the end of City on the Edge of Forever.
I remember her getting hit by the car, and that they asked that was going to happen.
Jesus.
Sorry. And that's our delivery truck.
That's our.
I'm going to jettison her out. Hit the eject button.
Hold her back.
Here we go.
No other way. Sorry, you have to eject your dog. I'm sorry. No other way to keep that dog quiet.
I can't do it.
I'll do it.
Kim did it.
No.
She's breathing pure nitrogen. I don't understand now. In the end of The City on the Edge of Forever, they know that something that McCoy does is some action or inaction of McCoy keeps her alive, which basically prevents America from going into the war,
right,
which makes Nazi Germany take over the world and gives us three seasons of The Man in the High Castle.
Right.
Basically, that was all the prequels of Man in the High Castle. But in one of the original drafts,
Jesus. People moving furniture upstairs. I know. This is so far. This podcast is great.
Well, we all got together for this. At the end of The City of Energy Forever, they flipped it. So originally it was going to be Kirk who was running to try and save her, and
right.
Spock says, "No, no, no, Jim, you have to let her die." But they flipped it because he has to be the hero, and a hero has to sacrifice sometimes, and he has to say, "No, I have to do this for the greater good. Even though I love her, I have to stop McCoy," because McCoy was going to stop
her. Right,
and he grabs him and says, "No, no, Bones." And like Bones is like, "Do you know what you just did, Jim?
Why did you stop me?
You deliberately stopped me.
Right.
You know what you did?"
He knows, Doctor. He knows.
Ah, so good. So good. But in this one, we get...
I was confused because I remember the beginning of the episode, Bones is crazy.
Murder!
Right. And he's still getting over it while he's there. And Kirk is the one who falls in love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Which makes it...
Which I thought to myself, well, it would make sense if he gets stopped by Spock. I can see what you're saying. Yeah. I've changed that in my mind somehow.
If we were to City on the Edge of Forever, this story, it was either going to be Burnham who'd do it, or actually probably more Tilly, because Tilly had a stronger connection with Robot Arium throughout the entire series.
Right.
I mean, like, at one point in time, they're in the engineering room together. Remember, like, she was like, I can, calculate.
Working on the sphere.
Working on the sphere, something together, or they're just slowly working together. So it should be Tilly who's like, I have to let you go. I have to, kill you. But instead, it's like, I don't even know what that security officer's name is right now.
Non.
Non.
Yes, Non. Non.
Well, she had a shout out to
augmented,
Superman
augmented cybernetics.
Oh,
also,
Arium, yeah.
Well, no, not only Arium, but she did,
too.
Doesn't she? Because for the oxygen thing, isn't that?
Oh, cybernetics is just like a little thing that helps her breathe.
But also the woman with the eye thing.
Oh, yeah.
Detmer. Oh, Detmer. Detmer does too,
yeah. They all have It made me think a lot about this. You know, I don't know how many people know about this. I'm sure you guys do because we're nerds. But speak for myself. But Elon Musk has several companies.
See his t-shirt.
SpaceX and Tesla and a few others. But there's one that is specifically working on a similar kind of thing that Arium is doing, where there is an augmented assistance with a computer with the human mind. They're trying to kind of mix the two together somehow in order to be able to augment either memory or have automatic recall of certain information.
Oh, wow.
Sort of, I mean, we don't know the details of it, but they are working on something to connect to the brain somehow.
Interesting, interesting. That's interesting, terrifying.
Yeah. It's
That's how Pike will be going, beep.
Yeah. Yeah, so Arium got the best tech. Let's just say it. So Arium was in some sort of shuttle accident where most of her body is gone.
Right.
There is nothing left of her except maybe like a brain stem, and she gets a full-on body. Pike has a head and a neck and a torso, and he gets a box with a beeper.
Good point.
He gets garbage, man. No wonder he wants to go back to the Talosians. It's like, I'm so sorry, Christopher. They're on back order. I swear to you.
Back order.
But we just, you know.
Little beeping boxes are on
back
order.
We got this beeping box. We put you in a beeping box. See, like that actually makes it worse, doesn't it? Like his fate, like they totally screw him over. Now he's going to be a beeping box.
Can't wait to see how he actually ends up in the show. If they will stick to the beep, beep box.
Because now there's a weird pathway where it's like, well, why don't you just make him a weird walking robot, right? What is the difference? I'm sure they're going to say, oh, because the radiation has singed his cells and there's no way to do the cybernet, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No,
it's completely wrong. That is a great point, though, that the technology exists to make a cybernetic person.
Yes.
Yet he's shuttling around in a two-light box.
In a couple of years, man.
Two lights on it? Yes and no? Or
no, it's just one light. Oh, it's just
two beeps for yes, one for no, something like that.
Does he have three lights, but he never uses the other two. He just uses the one. Like one's like a bathroom break, one is like...
One's a bathroom break.
And the other one's like low battery, you know?
Speaking of Pike, he said a few things that were very interesting to me in this episode, including, you want to tell us what kind of shitstorm we're flying into?
Yes.
Oh.
That took me aback a little bit. I was like, what? Okay. Are you just going there in order to just to be able to swear on Star Trek?
Tilly did earlier. Stamets.
When they swear on the show, it's so, I mean... Star Trek is supposed to be so enlightened. Like the future is supposed to be such an enlightened kind of time. And even in Star Trek 4, like Spock's like, why do you use all these colorful euphemisms? You know, it's like, well, in this time, they're all backwards. And evidently, like in 7 to 10 years before we, you know, do Star Trek 4, also very backwards because we also swear.
Right.
But yeah, it's because, I mean, like no one swears in any of the... I mean, I guess Data swears in Generations, like, oh, shit. And I'm like, oh. And everyone's like, yeah. It's just a little weird. Would you be okay in Star Wars if they were like, shit, that TIE fighter's on my tail?
Well, I think they do. There's a couple of curses in Star Wars, but it's not very...
Is there?
Yeah, there's, I'm trying to... I'm
do blind. They say hell or damn or
well,
something?
They certainly do because Han Solo says, I'll see you in hell.
Oh, then I'll see you in hell. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess I can buy into that because it's kind of a.
Well, it is a sort of a nebulous thing, and I know some people are like, "Oh, well, does that mean heaven and hell exist, or like a belief system?" And I think it's more of a colloquialism, pardon me, than anything else, because the same thing kind of happens in Star Trek with Godspeed. It's just it doesn't necessarily mean it's not referring to a deity. It's just the
well, that's true. Yeah. Although, I mean, as we dig deeper and deeper into Star Wars, I mean, Star Wars is supposed to be a galaxy far, far away, right. So...
Which, and there's a few things that bother me about that topic, too, where it's in Attack of the Clones, where... I don't want to get too deep into the woods. She says, in the world, something about, this is in the whole world, or something like that, I'm like... World, universe, galaxy, giant things going on. I want to say it was the world.
Mr. Lucas, clickety click.
Dear George.
All right, podcast delete memory.
This is the way specific memory can be done.
Why can't she connect to a cloud? She has constantly.
Yeah, why is there like no Wi-Fi on the ship?
She has to stand in front of it because it's like.
All right, so Arium, in order to delete, you have to stick your head in this little tube.
Because like, isn't she relive 7 days worth of moments and decide moments, which you want to keep?
Do them real time, if you don't mind, and then just and then you have to verbally agree to delete each one.
She only has like a memory card from a camera in her head, sticks in the back of her head.
Swap them out.
It's only 128 gigs. I'm sorry.
Like, here's the other thing. Like, if she is so much robot, and she's incredibly robot. I mean, she's like almost all robot.
Yeah.
When they,
I mean, wasn't that shocking to you when you see the picture in the very beginning, and she's there with her husband and everything? I was like, oh well,
That was so baffling that they decided to make that hard right turn of like, oh, guess what, everyone? She's actually a cyborg, and she smiles and she laughs and she plays cards with Chili.
And she eats in the mess hall.
And she eats in the mess hall.
I felt like it was very intentional, though. Like, oh, everybody just thinks she's robotic. We'll just introduce this character, and then we'll have a big reveal that she was a human once. And
oh, I think it was such a retcon. I think they were I think they stuck her in the back of the first season as something interesting.
Okay.
And then the second season, they're like inevitably, like, whenever you're like, you know, you're always like, who's that guy back there? I want to talk about that.
You know what that means.
What's that?
Big head people could be coming soon.
Oh,
big
God,
head
people. They're big so crab, scared.
Low gravity head.
Underside of a crab.
Yeah. Crab head's coming up. Well, yeah, because he's so he was in that back shot there, too, when they're all sad. It was like, is he sad? Is he happy?
Can't tell.
Because like, maybe face. He gets a station now. Maybe he's like, because he's just always like hovering in the back, like just kind of like looking. You know, like, I got Arium station now. Like, does he have pincher hands? I mean, or does he just have regular hands?
I don't know.
And if so, what kind of planet is that where it's like, it was so important to evolve this gigantic, bulbous crab head, but human fingers? That's what this world is all about.
He has big lobster claws.
Well, I mean, like, if you've got that crazy body, like, why do you need that? And then everything
one
else
huge
is like,
crab claw and one little.
I'd be okay with that. That makes more sense. But yeah, it made me happy at first. Like, oh, okay, cool. Let's go ahead and like redefine who she is. I mean, and then
get to see her quarters and her little personal items.
Yeah,
and
she found a little picture of her husband who died.
What?
Obviously couldn't save him.
I thought she was like sleeping in a closet like Bender. And
I wanted to know more about the crash because she just mentions it once. Like,
it's so
her husband didn't survive, and the crash was as they left their honeymoon, right?
Or, oh, is that what it was?
I thought that's what it was.
We're coming home now or something.
Yeah, we're coming home.
And they were probably at the exact same beach that's featured in The Expanse and in
Saru's.
Yeah, well, we didn't mention it because I'm sure we're getting to it, but when they go into the Section 31 ship and there's bodies floating and everything, I was thinking, well, this is just the beginning of The Expanse.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. We're big fans of The Expanse here. Well, me and Kim are.
Twice.
Jason, Jason still has to go back into it. I'm
still trying to get over the people from the Martians and the Belters. So the way the Belters talk.
Beltalorda.
Beltalorda. Stay away from the aqua. Well, how did you like all the Spock stuff? Spock and Burnham stuff?
Oh, good question.
I don't even remember
playing
chess
and all that.
Well, like, I'll say this one. it is kind
Come on, they pulled out the second you pulled out the board, I was like, oh,
we're
this
going
is
to play chess.
Pandering. I mean, total pandering. We're in the same universe. There's still 3D chess. There's still Vulcans.
I know.
It's still Spock.
I agree. I think it was just like, the only way we're going to solve this is playing chess. Oh, and by the way, we're flying by Section 31 base. And,
yeah, I was like, why isn't she working?
Burn them to the bridge, please. Oh, I get it.
I'm off now.
And also, it leads into Spock having emotional outbursts, right? Or, like, he's suddenly emotional. Like,
super emotional.
It just smacked of these writers going, what would be an interesting direction to take it where people haven't really seen? What if he gets emotional? Like,
people love
really?
When Spock loses his shit.
Well, they love it because most of the time he didn't lose his shit, but in every episode of this, of Discovery, he loses his shit every single episode.
Right. Thank God he was only a hologram when he killed those people and beat them up in a karate.
Because Saru could see through...
You know, heat signatures or whatever.
Now, when I'm watching TV, like, generally I can key in all the heat signatures. That's because that's how broadcasts work. They also transmit heat data.
Uh-huh.
So it's important that there's many layers whenever you're... that was so bad. The one thing I will say about the chess is inadvertently they tipped off their hand, the writers did, where it's like you sacrifice a pawn in order to protect the king and the queen. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, they very much sacrificed a lesser character of Arium in order to try to make Burnham and all those characters look better.
Right.
That's a meta analysis, but that's exactly what they were doing. I don't think they even realized that they did it.
But are they? Are they making anybody look better by doing it?
don't know. I like that non-woman now since she punched the button.
Yeah, she's the only person.
Yeah, I mean, she did.
I think they were trying to make Burnham look better.
I just want to know what's up with those things on her face because she can rip
breathe.
One off. I know, and she rips one off her.
She's a Barzan.
She can still breathe.
She's a Barzan. Barzan's closed, everybody. Last call. Star Wars Barzan. Richard Pryor. No, I think they... Like, lots of times you bring in characters. It's kind of funny. In Hot Streets this season, we had an episode called Tip to the Lip, and a reviewer said, like, we have the phone come alive. Our character Jen, her phone comes alive. I'll ruin it for you. It's actually very interesting because the phone comes alive in this digital world and ends up sacrificing himself in order to save the Earth. And the reviewer said, this was great. I love that character. I just wish some of the other characters in the show would be a little more developed like this. And sometimes you bring on a guest star to define what your other characters do. And that's fine.
Right.
But this character had been sitting there for 20 episodes. And then they just rush through the development and then kill her off.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about the logic extremist woman, too, who just turned out to be another fake cybernetic creation that... In order to distract them.
Yeah, it's the second
and
week in a row. We've
all
had
sentient
this.
Life in
Don't
the
believe
universe
what you see.
By artificial intelligence. And I was just like so ready to throw in the towel at some point.
They developed this character, this Patar, or Pat Benatar. Like, kind of looks like Pat Benatar. Kind of. I bet you that's where they're doing it. We have. Well, I'll say one more thing about Hot Streets is that there's a character called the Al Jardine. And there's a singer in
the Beach Boys, right?
Beach Boys, yeah, based Jardine, on Al Jardine, so we just called the Jardine.
That's ridiculous.
And we made him look like him, and then we turned him into a skeleton because we couldn't use his likeness. But anyway, so this Pat Benatar Vulcan
turned him into a skeleton because we couldn't use his likeness.
Just strip away everything. Makes him look human.
Perfect.
I don't know if I should give any of that way. It's fine. It's fine. No, I made all that up. It's crazy. I'm a crazy person.
Al Jardine's son listens to this podcast. He's gonna make a. Sue us and Weisel.
All right, so
now who's drinking during a podcast? Eating during a podcast?
had to recover.
Kim is. I Kim's doing great, and all of a sudden,
I know she's not eating or drinking. I was just considering, am I getting in trouble for mentioning that stuff? I should be okay. I mean, but it's fine.
Edit.
I might have to edit that out. We'll see. Anyway, so. But yeah, this Pat Benatar Vulcan with the Tellarite and the Andorian, all these cool control characters, they're just dead. We saw them last episode. Oh, this is going to be cool. No, they're all dead.
Yeah,
sorry.
What happened, there exactly? How did they end up frozen and floating? And who did that?
It's so much banana stuff.
Section 31, your favorite.
From what I understand is that they downloaded 25% of this giant space planet, living space planet thing.
The control people.
Right, that happened in the other episode where they downloaded all information from the star that was dying or whatever.
Right? Yeah, but only like 25% of it, and as a result, it decided to kill them or something? Is that what it was?
I wanted to use their knowledge of AI to...
Well, in this episode, I thought you were talking about the previous episode. No, so they wanted that information, that massive amount of information in order to inform their AI, make it better, and wipe out all sentient life. And
But then the AI went amok in the station. Is that what happened? And, simulated Patar and killed them all and demanded to have the rest of the information, the other 75% of the information.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Then it became even smarter and wipe
from
out all
Arium's head. That's
from
why
Arium's
she was...
Head.
Emptying her own head.
Because she didn't have enough.
Well, she was uploading it to a screen by holding her hand on it with a giant red symbol where it's like, uploading.
Hey, everybody.
Like, nobody's going to notice that. Yeah. Tilly, stand next to me the entire time. Wait a minute. Go away. Okay.
Yeah, there's so much back and forth stuff there. It's... All right.
Well, she deleted the memories of Tilly, and Tilly was very concerned about that. And I want to delete all my memories of Tilly.
Tilly once again was a savior, almost the savior of this episode.
Every time she's on the bridge,
she rolls up on the bridge, and
some miraculous way of saving the ship.
And she, of course, greeted the admiral very nicely.
Oh God! I just want to say that I'm not a rebel.
My artificial intelligence just went off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Uploading.
I'm uploading. Stand next to me the entire time, Mike.
Give me 75% more. Then I'll be smart enough. Ah. Tilly is still... I mean, is it an age thing? Are people under 30 just absolutely adoring Tilly and her just like...
Maybe.
Goofy, like, hello, Admiral. I don't know if you know me, blah, 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 blah. Like...
Okay, stop. I didn't run away. I mean, also I did episode, when I was a kid.
We continue the awesome tech that we'll never see in the original series with the retracting helmets. Oh,
God. Yeah, Iron Man helmet. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. Because in a few years, when they go in the Tholian web, it is a big kind of...
like beekeeper.
Big bee... beekeeper thimble kind of hat they were put over.
Oh, yeah. The one that Ryan Nagata recreated.
The Ryan Nagata. Yeah. Our friend of the pod, Ryan Nagata, who actually built costumes for First Man, recreated that kind of screen door kind of helmet thing. It's going to go real low tech real quick. Yeah. So, Federation, I've got a new design here. Instead of it just easily, you know, folding behind, you have to spin it and pull it off. But that's a physical thing.
Have your name right across the top.
Have your name right across it. But we get that, though. Well, I think names are important. Let's go ahead and do that. Yeah. All right, so what else? I know we're kind of going out of sequence again, but...
I just have random notes. I didn't want to... go through the whole episode and mark it because I'm just so frustrated. I wrote down Spock, relationship therapist. Because I forget what that was in reference to. He was
with Stamets.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yes. He's telling him
all about your relationship with your Hugh.
I noticed Dr. Culber removing his personal belongings from your shared quarters. That's like, right. Jeez. Yeah.
What are you doing on this ship, Spock?
Standing outside their door, stalking them?
Aren't you looking for a Red Angel?
I thought he might be the Red Angel. No, he's just a guy who's been recreated to the Mycelium Network. That's all.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody here's a monster. Yeah. Yeah, that was such a weird drop.
Yeah.
Like, it is, this show is also like, let's give Anthony Rapp things to do. Like, like they are so out of things to do.
Although, you know, you predicted he was going to be gone, and well, maybe you'll be right, but I seem to feel like he's back for season three for some reason.
Probably.
He's in all the videos that they're making and everything, unless that's a decoy.
He might be. I mean, I know they're, I mean, it felt like they're auditioning Tig Notaro to come in and, like.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
No more Tig Notaro. So glad she hasn't resurfaced.
I mean, he's really good, but he's also maybe not the biggest name in the world. I mean, he would, I don't know if he would go from this nerds, to doing some amazing project or something. And it's a really good gig for him.
Yeah, I think it's a really good gig. I think the writers are just in this weird spot where they had to move away from the Mycelial Network, and he was the Mycelial Network. He's like, my whole thing is astrofungal growth stuff.
Astromycologist.
Astromycologist. And like, if you don't have a mushroom in every episode, then like...
Astrofungal
spore man. I mean, like, if there's not a reason for, like, if it's not spore related, then what is he doing there, you know?
True.
And then and you see they're like shoehorning more and more. It's like, oh, yeah, the warpens are offline. Gotta
find stuff for him to do.
Yeah. I guess we probably need the spores again, you know? And now, like, even like with Hugh, I mean, Hugh is more spore than he is. So even like his big thing of like, oh, I'm part of the mycelium. No, he is the mycelium network.
This is true.
He's made out of mushroom.
To go back to Tilly for 1 second, another thing that drove me nuts was that she's like, I can't hack Arium.
No.
And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, wait, I can. And
oh, yeah. I'm hacking Arium. Arium, I'm sending this to your brain.
Yeah. She just sent her a thing. She didn't change her behavior, did she?
Well, maybe, like, yeah, if you can send pictures.
Oh, she, you're right about that. She appealed to her emotion, that's right.
Yeah.
You're our friend. We're your friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Tilly, I can't control myself.
I'm going to fix everything.
It's like when they said open the airlock and Burnham is like, no, I'm not going to eject you into space. Like, we kind of know what happens when you open an airlock. You have to reinforce that for us.
And of course, by opening an airlock, we should also be like pretty clear that generally like the explosive decompression doesn't really happen. It's like there's not enough pressure generally to suck people out. I mean,
like on the Expanse, they just go... float out.
Yeah, they'll float out slowly. Yeah. I mean, it's not like,
a little more accurate.
Yeah. Like, there's not 200 pounds of pressure right in there, yeah. Like, now, if it's a large area, maybe there'll be, like, a wind pushing. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know this.
It's not like opening a door on a plane.
Right, yeah, where, like, there's literally, like, air rushing by and creating, like, a negative, well, I don't know that much, so. I'm starting to float away.
That was more science boy.
But I do know in a confined space like that, if you open it up, she's not going to shoot out like...
The atmosphere rushes out, but...
It's very cool, but it's not...
Listen to us. We know what we're talking about. We'll tell you about space works.
I just want to talk about aerodynamics.
Three idiots talking about physics.
Well, can we also just... I mean, with that, they have to space Arium. Could they not beam her into the brig? Into the mess hall? like any place else.
Yeah, exactly.
Could they not like just pick her up from outer space because she is a robot and just say like, hey, I mean, like if I throw my iPhone in outer space, it's probably gonna be okay.
I deactivated my helmet. I'm like, helmet? You're wearing a helmet? Can you take that off? I
forgot about that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she's like, I deactivated my, like, why? And why didn't Nan like put her helmet back on to breathe like the, I mean,
one of her little mics.
Yeah, so Aaron rips off like half of her little like microphone.
That's what I was saying earlier, right?
Janet Jackson microphone, like air freshener, you know, mug. Or what was it like? We were talking about the little breath freshener, like it's like,
the breeze.
So they rip off one of those off her face, and then she is completely incapacitated.
Yes,
she can barely like it's like right mm-hmm. it's like 2 inches away from her, and she doesn't have enough nitrogen or whatever the hell she's supposed to be breathing mm-hmm. to grab it.
Yeah,
it's just out of reach, and she can't put on her space helmet. It's she's not a good security officer.
Yeah, doesn't she have a little Iron Man?
I know
that she can put on.
Yeah, that was frustrating that she was just reaching. But there are so many different outs to make Ariam okay. Like mm-hmm. there should be some sort of kill command. If you can send her pictures, you can say like, oh, maybe I could turn her off. Maybe there's a kill switch.
Imagine if I could send pictures into your fool's brain.
Oh yeah, I mean, like,
so many cats.
That'd be memories of us together with cats. Okay.
We'd be talking. Oh yeah, so I probably want. Oh damn it! Another, I'm sorry. It's another cat picture. Can't send more cat photos. That's really
more
down.
Cat videos.
That's what she should have done. I was just gonna flood her brain with cats. You know?
Yeah, hey, what like, worked. The second Tilly starts sending me anything, I think I'm gonna open the hatch.
We're just gonna space
it.
Yeah,
space myself.
Put a drill in your brain.
Black and Decker my head.
Just make it stop.
Now Tilly still does. She still have that hole in her head. Does she still like?
It's a good point. What happened to that hole?
They
in
patched
her
it.
Head?
Remember when they drilled a hole in Tilly's head like 3 episodes ago? Can we go back to that just for a second? Boy, they're this
the smartest woman in the universe has a hole in her head.
Well, you sort of stumble on something like the thing. Someone I was reading a big blog on, or not a blog, but a big post on Reddit, on like the Daystrom Institute, which is like a kind of deep dive for Star Trek. It's really a deep dive. But someone said this is really Discovery is sort of the Prometheus problem, where they just run, and it's smart people always doing dumb things, and they just throw out. He called it plot coupons, where you just keep on trading these in to keep moving and never think about what you've done or the implications.
Yeah.
And like drilling a hole until he's had 3 episodes ago has no relevance. You know, Hugh right. coming back from
no
my
consequence.
No consequences, nothing earned. And again, I mean, there are so many smart outs for saving Ariam. And it looks like she's dead because like in next week they have a big casket for her.
Yeah,
and
they went and retrieved her, I
guess. Yeah. Did anyone also notice with Detmer, like where they're like, hey, cybernetics,
mm-hmm.
didn't she get that from the Klingon War caused by Burnham?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I lost my eye.
Because in the first episode, she appears without it. Right?
Yeah, and then when we come back, like, how is she not having like any PTSD every time she sees Burnham?
Yeah.
It's like, you, like, you caused like, me. Yay, cybernetics, yeah. Boo, Burnham. Yeah.
This big metal fork on my face now. Thanks to you.
Yeah, what is that for? Is that like a Wi-Fi antenna or something? Like, get her like better, you know. That,
yes.
Yes. Okay, good. All right,
it's a Wi-Fi antenna.
Many, many problems with this episode, as we've encountered. I still ascertain that Pike is still great whenever he's on. Whenever he's like making choices and doing things,
yeah.
It's still pretty badass. You talked about the shit show thing, but
the shit storm, yeah.
The shit storm, but this was a shit show. But like when he's like, let's just go do that thing, like I'm always on board because it's like, okay, because he's the one person who kind of weighs the consequences.
He literally commands the bridge and the crew.
Yes.
He's very commanding in the way he speaks and his presence, and mm-hmm. it grounds the show in a mm-hmm. way it wasn't before.
You can see the gears turning, and he's weighing and says, okay, let's go do that.
Yeah.
Like when the Admiral shows up, our favorite kind of, are you good? Are you bad? What is your deal, lady?
What's her name again?
I don't know, Admiral Plot. I don't know.
Admiral Plot coupon.
Admiral Plot coupon.
Well, she was boning the previous Captain
Lorca. I know. Yeah. She's making love to evil Lorca.
Well,
and now she's like, a saboteur for Section
31.
Yeah, like she's trying to take down Section 31 with this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because she wasn't a saboteur for them. She was saboteuring them.
Yeah, she's secretly meeting. Yeah.
Because as we go backwards.
Sabotaging them.
Yeah, because Discovery now are renegades. They are now actively against, like, the Federation is actively pursuing them. As of last episode, and this Admiral, who was sleeping with evil Lorca, is now against Section 31 and goes to them. And so now she's a mutineer, according to AI Pitar, and tells Pike to go there.
Yeah, I think she said we have to go to control headquarters. Oh, I can't not think of Get Smart when I say that.
I know.
Go to control and get Pitar and get her to agree to give me access again to the AI.
we didn't even talk about. I mentioned to you that when we watched that, and they're heading to Section 31, it's exactly like being on the bridge of Star Trek Bridge Crew. It's a VR game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And inevitably you end up in a scenario where you have to avoid mines as you're moving the ship around.
Oh, yeah.
And that whole sequence where the mines were all being attracted to the ship and everything reminded me very much of playing that game.
When they're telling Detmer, Delta 7, or...
Oh, I know, yeah. Know. Well,
Omicron 14.
I know, it's like, we all know our Greek alphabet. Okay, good. Good, everybody. Okay. That was kind of an interesting thing, where, like, everyone's kind of working together. That was kind of, you know...
Blade
like,
minds.
Like, here's an interesting puzzle on the way... Like, it was a quest story, basically. It's like, okay, we have to get to this place. On our way, there's going to be all these obstacles, and we have to use our smarts in order to overcome it. Like, okay, that's great. I'm all on board for that. That's really, really great. And then it's kind of a ghost ship, you know, it's a haunted house. Let's go inside. But then as we get to the final thing, it's like, wait, so 25% of an AI imitated a bad group of Section 31 and cut them in half to get good Admiral over here to deliver Arium, to deliver the 75%. What is going on? This is madness.
That's Harley.
I know.
You're looking for her around you.
I'm so angry.
I know.
She's angry about this episode.
Well, the more up until the point where they, like, until it starts to unravel as, like, oh, this is just part of a Section 31 nonsense. It was all very interesting.
Well, it feels like every single time that they mention Section 31 now, it's all leading towards the spinoff, right?
Yeah, it feels like... we're heading towards, this is episode 9, so we've got 2 more to go. They added one more episode this season for whatever reason, because they couldn't finish off the Red Angel storyline, which to this point in time has been sort of nonsensical, and every time they try and go after the Red Angel, they get distracted by something else.
Yeah.
It's Section 31, or it's Spock. It seemed like early on when they went to that first planet, which, like, the Red Angel had taken that group of people to a different planet. Like, this is really...
Terralysium.
Yeah, Terralysium. That was like, this thing is big. But then every time after that, it's, we gotta find Spock. Section 31's in the way. We gotta save Spock. Section 31's in the way.
Well, they tied Spock into the Red Angel so tightly.
Right, but the Red Angel, like, but Spock doesn't know anything more of the Red Angel than we do now. Like, he's here, and he's like, I've been having all these dreams, I don't know what it means. And then Section 31...
I thought it was interesting when he mentioned that... I forgot who was it that mentioned, maybe the Red Angel is attracted to you because you're half human. And he said, there are some of us. I'm like, what?
Do you remember what he said? In the original, in Enterprise, who is it? It's Trip and T'Pol have a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's right towards the very, very, very end. And it's sort of what, like bridges the whole idea of the Federation.
Should bring that character.
It's something you were saying, Jason, also about Star Trek Bridge Crew. And one of the reasons I kind of stopped, like, even being into Bridge Crew, and I think probably everyone does, is that you do these quests, but there's no context to them other than, like, complete this objective.
Right.
With nothing really behind it.
Here's your mission, but it's ABC. Go here to this planet, go around these mines, find the thing, and then you're done. And there's not a whole lot of...
There's no moral quandary at the end.
You fire on targets and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
But, and of course, you have the Kobayashi Maru, but it gets repetitive after a while.
Because
although I did download the next gen,
the Borg one,
the ship, and I have not actually played much on it. I've just been on the bridge and use the crazy iPad thing that they have there instead of the command controls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Kieran actually downloaded the actual full-on, you can actually do the entire Enterprise D in VR.
Oh, okay.
Not just the bridge, and like he was, you know, traipsing around for a little while there, and that was kind of cool. But again, like,
oh, you can go through other parts of the ship.
In that's a whole separate app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like someone had like rendered the entire Enterprise.
It's not part of that game.
No, no.
Oh, I see. And that's interesting. So somebody just created themselves and released it.
And then CBS shut them down, which is like, you can't do that. It's like,
anything fun? They're
this seems like it's fun. Let's stop that.
We need to protect our intellectual property and make things less fun.
But I think, like you go through the mines, you go through the haunted house, and then you get this moral quandary, which isn't that interesting at the end. Like, I think we all went through that. We all did kind of a bridge crew simulator where it's like, wait, what is this episode about? It's just about ejecting Arium into space so that, like, some crazy...
Well, they saved all sentient life in the universe.
Again.
Yeah. Again.
Before the missile, destroyed the planet, so... in Spock's memory that... It's the stupidest thing, but like in Spock's memory, these missiles like hit all these planets, and right. Like to me, like a super, you know, advanced race, we will shoot missiles. I want it to be like a Q kind of entity or something.
Something.
I was trying to quantify what is this episode? What is our podcast? What have we lost? I mean, in some ways, like, it is just the memory of the three of us talking together. And really, the actual content
we may have deleted that memory today. Memory of this podcast.
I enjoy talking to the two of you and to all of you out there, but I don't know if this actual podcast has value.
It's been true from the beginning.
I know it has.
Just want to hang out.
I do just want to hang out. I just want to hang out. and we were talking about talking to Aaron Moles. We were threatening to talk to Aaron Moles.
Aaron Moles.
And Aaron has become our Arium in this, and we're
Arium Moles.
Arium Moles. So I'm going to call him right now, very quickly.
Meanwhile, I will continue to eat my hummus and pita chip.
They don't do this on Trek FM. Sound like Jack FM. Trek FM. We're serious about our Trek.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Moles.
How's it going?
Good, my friend. We have beamed you on to our podcast right now.
Not Aaron Moles.
You're here with the doctor.
Hey.
how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Have you finished lunch?
I have, yes. I'm
finished
back now.
Lunch.
he said he was going to be gone for an hour eating lunch. What were you eating, Aaron?
I had to make some runs. I had to deposit some cash and had some Panda Express. And, yeah.
What did you have at Panda Express?
Colored cubes.
I had the, what do you call it? The chicken teriyaki where they chop the meat up.
Oh, that's really good. I like that, yeah.
Yeah. Half and half?
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks a lot for being on the podcast, Aaron.
Yeah, of course.
I'm here too, Moles. It's Macaris. I was not mentioned, but I'm lurking here in the background listening to your menu.
I'm sure this is adding a lot to the show.
Well, Aaron, I've been threatening to have you on the podcast, and I thought especially in light of Arium, who got developed so briefly and then jettisoned to space, I wanted to do that and then to jettison you to space, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, as long as you're not like Michael and you actually open the airlock. Yeah.
I'm going to threaten to, and then Kim's going to do it.
Mike wouldn't be able to.
What did you think of this episode, Aaron? I know you list a little bit of your thoughts on the Facebook page, but what did you think about this?
I mean, I've been liking what they've been doing in each episode, focusing on, you know, a different character here and there. It did feel very rushed, though. You just start to get to know this character. It was spent all of season one just beeping or whatever that noise is.
Oh, we can all make that noise. We're gonna have a contest at the end of the season. Who can make the best Arium noise? Right. I'm sorry, keep going though. Yeah, you were saying you developed the character too fast.
Yeah, now we finally have a face to the name, and you know, and when we get the backstory, and then and that's it.
Now, Aaron, you knew all along from the very first time you saw her that she was actually a cyborg who had been through a traumatic event, right? You knew that, right? We all knew that.
She's human.
Oh, yeah, human. Of course there was a human in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, and you knew that she played cards with Tilly. You knew that, right?
Yes, yeah, of course.
She ate in the mess hall. You knew that.
and she was really good at, what was that game? That, like, Cal Doc or whatever it was? It's
oh, yeah.
It's
I don't actually, remember what it's called.
It's actually listed. It's actually named in Deep Space Nine too, but like for some reason they called that back because that was super Gul important. Gul Dukat. Yeah, it was. She played Gul Dukat.
Sabak.
Oh, Gul Dukat. Cybok.
She played Cybok.
So the character was named after a game. It's interesting.
Yeah. Had to play some Cybok. Yeah. So. Well, yeah. That, I guess. I mean, over too far rushed. And then talk to me about Section 31 and Pitar and how exciting it was to see her.
yeah, I'm not a fan. Like, anytime Section 31 comes into the season, they are not selling. If they want to do a spinoff, they're not doing a good job of, like, making me want to watch this. who was the Section 31 person?
Her name is Pitar, like Pat Benatar. Like, it's an amalgamation of Pat Benatar. I'm almost certain of it.
Oh, is that the Vulcan Admiral?
Yeah, yeah.
The Logic Extremist?
Logic Extremist.
Yes. Yeah.
Control operative, now floating in ice, Pitar.
That's right, yeah. She's dead, that's right. And now there's hologram people. Now they can make accurate holographic representations.
Except now let me ask you this, Aaron. You do a lot of editing. Now when you edit like on a screen, do you ever like go through the layer that has all the heat signatures and make sure that all the heat signatures on the screen are correct?
I don't, and you know, that makes me wonder if like I'm using real actors.
They're all simulations.
It's terrifying to realize that there's photonic beings in my shows potentially.
That's a filter on all like Final Draft and their Final Cut is like on the Red camera now they record in infrared as well, right? Just in case.
Yeah. So how many dimensions are being recorded? can you like get biosignatures from video now?
Like we're recording your mycelial audio too, just so you know.
Oh, good. Okay.
We can hear your mushroom universe.
Potentially, I could physically come and do the podcast in person if I can just figure out how to get.
I'm sorry, Aaron, you're breaking up.
I think it's probably the mycelial network. Sorry.
We're gonna go rescue you, Aaron. We know that you're trapped in the mycelial network.
Beam you in here naked.
We're gonna beam you in here naked with a giant beard, shivering.
Have you heard about all that? You've been watching the Midnight's Edge stuff, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched the most recent one.
There was something about, just basically how, like, all the ideas that Brian Fuller had. Like, the Mycelial Network was supposed to be, like, a planetary thing, and not, like, out in space.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be a network on a planet, which makes way more sense, but, the Mycelial Network's, like, another dimension now, right? Like,
I guess, yeah. Right next to the Mirror Universe, right? I mean,
yeah. It's I don't know. It's just where that New Zealand really girl lives. Weird. That's never going to be addressed again outside of this show.
I plan to introduce the phrase mycelial network all the time, with that New Zealand girl who's trapped in the mycelial network, who is the representative of the mycelial network.
All right.
Who can only be seen by Tilly until you go on the mycelial network. But who is secretly guiding us to the dragon, which is actually Culbert. Hey, we were talking about also Tilly. Remember when Tilly had a hole drilled in her head?
Oh, right, yeah.
Remember like 4 episodes ago?
They just spackled it and put a band-aid.
I can tolerate Tilly because they always balance her out with something traumatic like that. Like, as long as something horrifying is happening to her, it kind of makes up for all the weird, awkward stuff.
I guess I just need more punishment of her then. I mean, because like it seems like it's like a 1-to-5 ratio, you know. I mean,
right.
Although drilling into her head, we were talking about it like earlier because we were podcasting, and I was like, hey guys, do you guys remember they actually drilled in her head and they've never talked about that again? There's so many things that are dropped in this show. It's just they just run so fast.
I bet like, next time Tig Notaro appears, she'll mention it.
Yeah, it's oh well. Yeah, Kim said Tig Notaro will mention that next time if we ever see her again because she's suddenly gone.
Yeah,
where is she? Is she like crawling through some sort of air duct somewhere in like Jet Reno?
Yeah, I was kind of assuming that she'd become like chief engineer or something. They don't actually have an engineer on the show, like in the cast, do they?
Well, Stamets, kind of. Stamets is the mushroom man, so he. Do you know the mushroom man?
Right, which becomes a position later on in the original series, of course.
Right, yeah. All mushrooms functioning properly, sir.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tig's coming back. I did see her on Ellen, though. I will let you know she was on the Ellen show today. And
are you letting him know?
Aaron,
I'm going to check it out.
If you don't. Yeah, you might have missed her, but she was on Ellen today, talking with Ellen. She actually directed Ellen's special. I guess they're good friends.
Oh, comedy special? Yeah.
Yeah, like her Netflix comedy special.
Relatable?
Was it relatable? Yeah. Is that it? Yeah, which was really weird. Yeah, and they were dressed alike. It was very strange. And both talking in very monotone voices. And
you're saying Ellen's going to be on Discovery soon.
I kind of hope so. I kind of hope she's like the new Q or something like that. Like
the doctor just endorsed it.
And if she were evil, that would be awesome.
Yeah, if she was, and if she had creatures popping out of like boxes and scaring everyone all the time, like, well, because Ellen pranks everyone on her show.
Like, if the doctor's so excited about having Ellen on Star Trek,
I don't watch her show, but I like her.
Show.
I still like her.
Kim just likes the Ellen network, like the mycelial network. It's just
Ellen's everywhere.
It's just everywhere. She just goes in. Ellen's like a big tardigrade to Kim, and just like
I'll crawl inside a giant worm, Ellen. Kim, come back.
Did you you saw the news about not being back for season 3, right?
Yeah, we were just talking about that. It makes me really sad. So they announced that Anson Mount and I guess Rebecca Roman, who in her voluminous hamburger eating role, she ate a hamburger. Like
she's actually my favorite character on Discovery for eating a hamburger.
I love her. I mean, I think that's probably the best part of the whole season so far.
So does this mean we're gonna get a Kirk?
Well, Kim just asked if we're going to get a Kirk. Maybe. I mean, like, what if the Red Angel... I thought about this today. What if the Red Angel was Kirk? What if we just, like...
Would that redeem the entire series for you?
Yes!
What? And what if it was, like, William Shatner?
If it was actually William Shatner who came through... Oh. He used the suit to come through time.
Yeah! He's just like, I've got to save you all. We've got to save you all from yourselves.
De-age him, like Samuel L. Jackson.
That could be, like... It could be tied into that somehow.
From the what?
The Nexus, like he's the Nexus.
The Nexus, it's right next to the Mycelial Network, and he punched a hole through
right
it.
Next to it.
And it's right next to the Priceline universe, and the Red Angel is actually the Priceline Angel. That's what it is, so.
And the Transformed Man universe.
Oh, yeah, oh, that's right, yeah. We can't forget about the Transformed Man. Oh, my gosh, this is, yeah, I think we finally discovered it. We discovered Discovery. The show that pays you back. 1% cash back on all episodes.
Oh, dear.
And that's how Kirk gets stationed on the Enterprise. So they set that up.
I would be okay with that. Because if they're going... I mean, now, the only other option is if Saru is the captain. That would be the only thing I would be okay with. Kim's rolling her eyes.
I don't think that'll happen, but I'd be interesting.
Michael or Saru probably are my promotion.
Well, Saru was the captain once already.
Yes.
Temporarily.
And he did a good job, I thought. He did a really good job. And, like, he was going to be the captain. And
he's the most interesting character on the show, maybe other than Pike now.
And Arium, who's now gone.
Arium, I debate, you know, whether she was actually interesting or not.
Yeah,
I just introduced a whole lot of facts about her towards the end and expected us to care.
Here's your top 10 facts about Arium. Goodbye.
One, she's wearing a helmet. You don't even know it.
What's she look like without the helmet? She's just an eyeball.
Yeah. Two, she erases memories of her friends.
Why do robots need helmets? That's the one thing I... All right. Well, the doctor actually has to go, so we're actually gonna like jettison you into outer space now, Aaron.
The countdown has begun, but we're still gonna pull the lever.
We gave you a hot 12.
If we let you out, you'll kill us all.
Yeah, if we let you, you have 75% of this podcast's interest, basically. We only have 25%. If we let you into this podcast anymore, you will take over the podcast and destroy humanity.
I'll send you
I understand. Well, if you create more content, you need another 25%. You know, I'm right here.
All right, well, we'll Excellent. See. All right, so I you have to ask me to hang up the phone, but I can't do it, okay? One of the other two, I won't tell you which one. You'll have to find on the podcast. All right, so ask me to shut you off now.
Mike, you have to hang up.
I can't, Aaron, I can't.
Mike, do it.
Mike, it's the only way.
I'm sending you a memory of us when you were in Oh Shit in Channel 101 and I was in your show. I can't.
Do it.
Do it, Aaron. Do it.
No, you have to do it.
I do it? I
No, because...
Oh, I'm doing it.
Or Kim. One of us has to do it.
Oh, yeah, we have to pull the lever.
Yeah, so I can't do it. So that's how it works.
You're right.
You guys. All right, so Kim's going to do it. All right, say...
I thought it... Yeah. Is Spock telling her to do it, too?
All right, say, talk to you later, Aaron.
Bye.
Okay, let me go.
You'll kill us all.
Oh. Mike did it
anyway. All right, well, Kim tried to, and she didn't, and then I ended up doing it, so...
I touched it too lightly.
Farewell, gentle Aaron.
We'll have a funeral for him in the next episode.
Yeah. We will.
We'll retrieve his body later.
I'm not dead, guys.
Get in this tomb.
We're going to launch you off the balcony. All right, why don't we call an end to this here? This was.
You're going
to
say, why don't we call somebody else? No.
Why don't we call someone else here?
Find out what else your friends had for lunch.
You fool. That was the best. I mean, lunch. Don't we all want to know that? That is actually a pretty good
show. As long as we get them as a sponsor.
Oh, I wish we could. Yeah. You know what we should do? We should find like a restaurant or someplace that will like sponsor us and say like, hey, we're going to plug you every single episode.
Or we'll just pizza. You podcast from their restaurant.
Yeah, it should be noisy. What's that?
Too noisy.
No, not too noisy. Well, you know what we should do? I should press hard for Clipper Club.
Yeah.
Because they could turn off the sound and we could be like, hey, we want a podcast from the Clipper Club. And
every week. The doctor would have to come up every week.
Every week. Well, you know, we'll start up a Patreon or a Kickstarter to pay for you like to come up. What do you think about that, Kim? No, I think all you know.
Raise negative $12. Your public demands
it. Your public demands it. They demand you to be heard. They demand you to be here. I demand it. We'll bring in Panda Express. Why don't we do a show called Panda Express?
So instead of getting Panda Express to be a sponsor, we'll get the Clipper Club and bring in Panda Express.
Bring in Panda Express.
Well, you know, you guys, your food here is unpacked.
Actually, their food, actually, Clipper Club is really good.
Yeah, it is. It's very good.
We have drinks that are terrible.
Are the drinks bad?
I had an old fashioned there. It was not good.
Oh, dear. Well,
but the wine's like $5, man. I mean, see, that's why I don't do mixed drinks because it's a mixed bag. That's like when wine is wine and it's either good or bad, and you can say, hey, this is bad wine, they'll give you a new one. Where mixed drinks is like, oh, this is what we do. But the food there is great. We should do the
I think we were signing off at some point.
Now we're talking about food.
Thank you so much for joining us here. We've got two more episodes of Discovery, and then we are free and clear of it forever.
Free and clear forever until next season.
I don't know if there'll be another. I don't know if we're going to do another season of this.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I mean, we went on hiatus.
By a lot of work, you mean watching it?
Yes, yeah. Watching it and then corralling us all because it's something that doesn't. It doesn't like it's not something which each of us are like, oh my god, we gotta talk about this next episode. Like right. when Game of Thrones comes out, like the three of us are gonna want to get together and be like, oh my god, that happened and that happened, that happened. But when Discovery comes out, we're like, boy, well, that happened and that kind of happened and that didn't happen.
I just forget about it because I have to seek it out rather than it just appearing on my DVR.
Oh yeah, because it's CBS All Access. It's evidently, the show's doing well in Germany. It's like the number two show in Germany or something like that. So I guess the translation is, you know, spectacular, you know? So,
and I don't want to alert our benefactors at the Starburns Audio Network, but that original information they gave us still works for CBS All Access.
You're still getting it, yeah.
No, it still works on. I logged in on the web yesterday.
Wait, so we all get it?
Yeah, we can all get it.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll try it again, so. Wow, that'll be great. Okay. I mean, because I've been paying for it up to this point in time. You're aiming it. All right, thank you so much for listening to us. My name's Mike McCaffrey.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And we just want to talk about...
Star Trek!
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Strike limits. Flame the dark troops, salt.
Please, Chief, take a seat.
Way link complete.
Way link!
I meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.